you guys have to pray for me because this song is difficult.
It was really tricky to learn, but it's All of My Heart.
After My Heart.
After My Heart. And I was thinking about David, how God said that David was a man after his own heart. And this little piece of scripture I was reading, or a pamphlet I was reading, said, how can that be when David committed so many sins against God? How is that possible? And it's because of the fact that David searched his heart and he said, Lord, I want you to make something out of me. I want you to forgive me. I want you to work it in me until it's done. Amen. And it reminds me of this song. The timing is so slow, but I just want to rush. So I pray that God will put his spirit on me this morning as we present this song to you. And I hope it fills your heart with great joy.
You split the sky to meet me here and breathe into the atmosphere. You tear the veil to make a way in holiness. I'm face to face. Here and now have my attention. You got me. Here and now have my affection. You won me. You never stop seeking. You never stop seeking out. You never stop seeking after my heart. You're after my heart. So have your way. And speak again, remind me of your promises, of who you are and what you've done, how all of me is all you want. Here and now have my attention. You want me. Here and now have my affection. You've got me. You never stop seeking. You never stop reaching out. No, you never stop seeking after my heart. You're after my heart. Oh, you never stop seeking. You never stop reaching out. You never stop seeking after my heart. You're after my heart. You've got me. You've got me. Right where you want me, you've won me, you've won me, you've won me completely, you've got me, you've got me. Right where you want me, you've won me, you've won me, you've won me completely. Oh, you never stop seeking, you never stop reaching out.
Thank you, Denise and Sylvia, for that.
All right. You ready to get to work? Uh-oh, George. Can't have that attitude in here. Can't do it. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're in the school of the Lord. So, the school of the Lord. So, you know, last week I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, because last week we had the convocation. Last week we got into Romans 5. Without looking at the board, do you remember those four areas or four people groups that God poured his grace into? Do you remember that at all? Can you remember any of the words? The powerless, I heard one over here. Powerless, what else? The enemies, the ungodly, there's one more. Sinners, right? Christ died for the powerless, amen? The ungodly, oh, praise the Lord, right? The sinners, I'm one of those. And enemies. Isn't that amazing that he did that? So now we're going to go a little bit further. And we're going to go into Romans 5 again. And we're going to look up verses 9 and 10. But before we do that, I just want to ask God to have a blessing on the reading of his word and on our study time together. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for another Sabbath where we can get together and worship you. And Father, I pray this morning that you would reveal yourself through Scripture and that as a body of believers, we would grow in knowledge of salvation today, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what I want you to do is I want you to look up Romans 5, verses 9 and 10. And if you're not sitting next to somebody, you're going to need to move. You need to get up and go sit next to somebody. Okay? Mr. Fausto over there, come on. Let's go. If you're not sitting next to somebody, you need to be. Okay? You gotta be with somebody. So, sit next to somebody. Get a partner. And I just want you to converse with them. Rose, you gonna find somebody? Okay, he's coming. Okay. Smith, she's waiting for you over here. I think it's your job to walk. And actually, husbands, if you're here, I give you permission to speak this morning. Okay? Don't let the wives just do all the talking. Okay? You can speak and talk about Scripture as well. Wives, you just keep them in line. Okay? Got it? Okay. So you're going to look at Romans 5, 9, and 10. And here's what you're going to find for me this morning. Okay? You're going to look for it this morning. I want two statements from verse 9, an A and B statement, and two statements from verse 10, that's an A and B statement, and they're parallel. They should match in some way. Okay? So I just want you to look at verses 9 and verses 10 with your partner, and I want to hear talking. Okay? Converse, what are you seeing there? And I want you to find those, and in about 30 seconds to a minute, I'm going to call on somebody. Go. Jamie doing all the talking over here. You're no help. Okay. Okay, I see a lot of talking going on. Are you catching on some of these things? I'm trying to get you to go in this direction here. Okay. There's no screen. It's only on the whiteboards here. Sorry, I'm writing. So it's 9A and B and 10A and B. Okay, if you need to, there's a lot of room over here. If you need to come see the board, which might help, you can come sit over here. Come on over. It's totally fine. Okay. So what about verse 9? What's 9a? What's part A of that? Justified. Justified by what? His blood. See, I could never be a school teacher. Okay. And what's part B of 9? Saved by what? Saved from wrath by, through? Saved by wrath through the Son, right? From wrath, I'm sorry. Thank you. From wrath through the Son. Okay, good. Justified by his blood is part A, and saved from wrath through the Son is part B. Now, what's verse 10? What's part A of verse 10? Reconciled through the blood. And what's part B? Saved by his life. Saved by his life. Okay, so we've got a part A, verse 9, justified by his blood. And we've got a part B, saved from wrath through his Son. And it kind of mimics or jumps over into B with reconciled through his blood and saved by his life. Now, we're gonna open that can of 9 and 10 in just a moment here. But I want to talk about one thing before we kind of dive into those verses a little bit more this morning. There's one thing that's not connected with the death of Jesus in these passages here. We get justification, we get reconciliation, we have the spilling of his blood, but there's one thing that's not mentioned in these verses, and it's the idea of salvation. Okay, it's the idea of salvation. Here is, salvation is a result of his life in you. It's an after fact of this. Are you catching what I'm saying? It's the process of being saved from sin, we say. Salvation is the process of being saved from sin. You've been saved from death by his death. Amen? Salvation is not saving you from death. It's entering you into life. You're being saved from sin. You know, the first use of the root word of salvation in the New Testament is found in Matthew 1:21, and it says, "You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." Salvation has to do, listen to me carefully, salvation has to do with victory over sin. Amen? And here's what I think. I think the average Adventist thinks salvation is just making it to heaven. If I can just get to those pearly gates, I'll be okay. Why is there so much confusion about salvation today? It's a here and now, today experience. Because if Jesus is alive and he's offering us the complete and holy life, that life that he's offering us every day, that's going to be in us. By the way, I was thinking about this week. I don't spend one moment thinking about getting into heaven. It's not in my thoughts. It's not in my thoughts. Do you know why it's not in my thoughts? And I love this moment. Do you know why? I'm not spending one moment thinking about getting into heaven because according to Ephesians chapter 2, I'm already seated with him in heavenly places. Think about that. If it's happened to Jesus, it's happened to you. Don't spend your life trying to get into heaven. Spend your life being in Christ every day, and you're already seated with him by faith. I hope you're hearing this morning, because there's not a need to be confused. There's no need to be confused about salvation. It's not some unattainable thing I might get at the end of my life. The reality is I'm never good enough. I was never good enough, and I never will be. But there is one who is good enough and was good enough, and that's Jesus. And he's already seated there. And by faith, we can be there too. Here's the thing. Listen to me very carefully. If Jesus has overcome sin and the devil, guess what? I've got news for you. You've overcome sin and the devil. I got three amens. Is there confusion about salvation this morning? And by the way, whatever God declares you to be, he will make you into. You think about that. If God declares you to be righteous, then what are you? You know, there's two statements in verse 9 contrasting two statements in verse 10. And if we look carefully at these statements, we find two things. In number one, in A, what are they both associated with? The blood or the death of Jesus, right? They're both associated, or they're focused on the death of Jesus. And the second one, what are they both looking at? Saved from sin and because of his life, right? Justification and reconciliation there in part A of both verses. Justification and reconciliation. The root meaning of justification does not mean to be made righteous. Did you know that? It means to be declared righteous. That's what justification is. It's a declaration of your righteousness, and nobody's going, oh, that's great. Is that good? Literally, the good news is when God looked at you, he saw your filthy sin and garments, and he said, I'm taking those, and I'm going to put them on Jesus, and in exchange, I'm going to give you a holy and righteous robe that Jesus wore. So when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. When he looks at Jesus, he sees me. Amen. Now I'm going to do it again today, and I'm going to praise God for the privilege of being justified, being declared righteous because of his atoning death. I don't think we talk about that enough. It should be talked about every day. Every day. You know, it's a privilege that we can have every single day of our lives. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has everything to do with how Jesus felt. It has nothing to do with how well you're doing. It has everything to do with how well Jesus did. If God is accepting Jesus in my place, then I'm in good hands. You know, this sermon series called Benefits of the Cross is just mainly focusing on Romans 5, mainly chapter 5 we're going to be going through for the next several weeks. But I want to kind of deviate for just a moment into Revelation, because I like Revelation, because it's the revealing of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And it has to do with God's last day people who are to reveal Jesus Christ. And when you look at Revelation, you see that there's these seven churches, right, in Revelation. And in Revelation, in the tabernacle, you also see that there are seven candlesticks, right? Seven candlesticks. And what is seven mean? Do you guys know what seven means? Nope, not perfection. Completeness. Not perfection, it's completed, right? Not perfection. That's actually a picture of the final church on earth. A completed church. Not a perfect church. A completed church. God's completed people. You know, Ellen White, some 150 years ago, made a statement that all seven messages pertain to the last church. But we kind of ignore that and we look at history. We go, this church was in history here, and this church was in history here, and this church was in history here. Well, there's history, but that's not the final application, because seven churches means God will finally have a completed people. Amen. And who's standing in the middle of those candlesticks? Jesus. He's standing there with the light shining on him. And it reflects on the one in the middle. By the way, did you know that the wicks in the tabernacle of the candles were made from the undergarments of the priest? The discarded undergarments of the priest? You're like, oh man, that's gnarly. Right? Yeah. Gnarly. They were torn into strips, they were soaked in oil, and they were set afire. Thus, the light of the candlesticks came from dirty, discarded garments. Yeah, wow. That's what I said. God's pretty amazing how he lays things out. Now listen here. God is telling us that he's going to have a completed people at the end of time who's going to reveal Jesus in their lives. And it's going to be their filthy garments being consumed by the Holy Spirit, bringing forth the beauty. Reflecting who? Jesus. Come on, smile. That's good news. That's amazing news. How's your faith this morning? Here's a thought. I wrote it down. Are you in the habit of coming to the cross every single day? You know, somebody asked me the other week, they said, Pastor, what does it mean to come to the cross every single day? Why do I need to do that? I mean, I was saved so long ago. Well, at the cross, God found a way to declare you righteous, even though you knew it or not. Have you seen that bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? That's what I say about dying daily at the cross. So, are you justified today, this morning? Are you justified? Have you been declared righteous by God today? See, at the cross, God takes our filthy garments and he puts them on himself and offers you in exchange that beautiful robe I talked about earlier. So that you can spend a whole nother day being declared righteous. As Romans 6:11 says, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. It has nothing to do with how we feel. Being dead to sin is a step of faith. Yet we wallow in sins or a sin or whatever it might be daily. But God's Romans 6 says, consider yourselves to be what? Dead to sin. See, if you've been baptized into Jesus, you can claim that step of faith this morning. You've been buried by baptism into his death. And baptism is renewed daily through the Spirit. And I like what Paul says. He says, I die daily. Because Paul was thinking about coming to the cross and renewing his conviction that in the death of Jesus, his death was accomplished. And he considered himself to be dead to sin. I think that's a promise that we can claim every single day. When our feet go off the bed and hit the floor. Lord, thank you that your death was my death. And today I'm justified and righteous in your sight. And I want to go out, and as the Pathfinders say, I want to go on God's errands. I want to be about your business, Father. I want to reveal to the world the light. So Holy Spirit, consume me, burn me, so that I show Jesus to others. You know, for me to get people to do this, to come to that daily confession of dying daily, is sometimes like, I feel like it's like moving mountains or herding cats. Just being honest. People say, oh, but I don't feel dead to sin. I made a mistake again, Pastor. I say, congratulations, you've joined the human race. What does a child of God do when they make a mistake? They come to their loving Father who embraces them and forgives them. Amen? And he restores them, but oftentimes we don't believe that last step there, that belief, is sometimes difficult to go forward with. People have said to me, you know, I've messed up. I'm not doing good with God because I just don't measure up. And I sinned and I lost everything again. And I say, did you have it perfect in the first place? Were you so perfect and wonderful in the first place? Or did God pour his grace out on you while you were still sinners? Amen? You know, you did nothing to deserve justification. Hallelujah. The good news is if you fall back and make a mistake, justification is not yanked away from you. You're still a child of God. And here's the part. Don't tune me out yet based on what I just said. Here's the part I want you to hear. What does a justified person do when they make a mistake? They turn around and go back to God and they say, God, I need you. I need you to mold me and shape me and make me into what you see. And I believe you're going to do it. You know, I had an incident this week. Somebody I met with outside of my office, and they were having a hard time conversing with somebody else. And it got to the point where it got out of hand. And I went to that person and I said, you know, you can't have this attitude. You can't be this way. You can't treat these people in this way. And the person said, I can't help it. And I said, but I know you can't, but God can help you. And they realized that. They said, yeah, you're right. God can help me treat these people in a better way. And they did. And that's the point. There's so many things we look at and we want to fight in our armor. But God says, put that down and put on my armor, because you're never going to fight in your own armor. And for those of you sitting here thinking, well, I'm not fighting any battles. I'm okay. I'm doing okay. You're either for or against God. And God wants you to be for him. And God wants you to know that you're declared righteous. You know, I want to talk about... Sorry, I'm going through my notes here. what time is it? Okay. So on the side here, I put benefits of his atoning death. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Benefits, 4, 4, yeah. Benefits of his atoning death. And the first benefit that I want to write is justification, okay? Which we just talked about. Justification, okay? The second one, which justification, remember, it's being declared what? Righteous, right? Okay? Righteous. Okay? And the second one is reconciliation, and that's in verse 9. Still with me? Reconciliation. Oh, boy. Reconciliation. You know, reconciliation... is an accounting term. And reconciliation is a process where you have to look at two different sides of the page and make sure that they are equal. Make sure what one side says is true on the other side. And basically, in money terms, it confirms whether the money leaving an account matches the amount that's being spent and makes sure the two are balanced at the end of the transaction period. And God, in his infinite love and mercy, has reconciled us through his blood. We're even now. We're balanced because of God's display on Calvary. And that's a benefit of what? His atoning death, right? Another benefit of his atoning death is found in Romans 5:8, if you want to turn there. Romans 5:8. You'll probably get there before me. Romans 5:8, which says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ what? So another benefit of his atoning death is that demonstration of what? His love. Okay, so what are we going to do now? Well, you're going to help me. That's what we're going to do. You're going to help the pastor this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And the unpardonable sin is if you're sitting alone this morning. Everybody's together. Good. Okay. Okay. So you, like I said earlier, if you're gonna, you need to find a partner, because this is gonna, this is the end of a, we're closing out here, but you still need to find a partner. Everyone got a partner? Somebody they can talk with? Okay. Here's the assignment. I'm gonna limit you to just the whole Bible. Okay. Good. Okay. I need scripture though. I need scripture. Okay. I'm looking for further benefits of the atoning death of Jesus. Not the resurrection. Don't give me the resurrection. I want benefits of the death of Jesus and the atonement. Okay? So what I want you to do is look through your Bibles. Mainly, you could go to the New Testament. That's a good place to start. You could go to Hebrews, Romans, or Ephesians 2. Those are all good jam-packed ones that have them on just about every chapter. And I need a verse that talks about the benefits of the death of Jesus. All right, so go ahead, start looking with somebody. Go through Scripture. We're just going to spend a few moments looking through Scripture. Let your stomachs linger a little longer. Everybody looking? We're looking for scriptures that talk about Jesus and his death and what is promised to us through his death. Hopefully somebody might even this morning, I don't know, bring up something about forgiveness. Sometimes it doesn't come up. All right. Does anybody want to go first? Oh, man on the fourth row here. Go ahead. Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Let's do this. Because I want everybody to hear scripture. So let's do this here. Maybe you could help me out in a minute. Yeah. Okay, why don't you read your scripture and then tell me what is the benefit. Go ahead.
Ephesians 1:7.
Ephesians 1:7 says,
"In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace."
Amen. We have what was that?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Is that the word they used? Redemption. Redemption, actually, right? Redemption. Okay, somebody else raise your hand. Leonard, go ahead.
This is Ephesians 2:13.
Okay.
It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And so there's a closeness, I guess.
A closeness, right? Closeness to Christ. That's good. We're brought near. Closeness. We're brought near because of his death. We're brought near to Christ. That's beautiful. What's another one? Over here.
Second Corinthians 4:10.
Okay.
It says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
Wow, that's a big one. So what would you say that's the focal point of the benefit?
The life of Jesus.
The life of Jesus. Can we say amen to that? The life of Jesus in us. We carry that around. Okay. Terry?
Hold on, we lost the verse.
Oh, boy.
1 Corinthians 15, I guess it's 26 and 27. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. So he conquered death.
Okay, but what does that talk about the death of Jesus?
Well, what he's done for us. He conquered death for
us. Read the verse again.
Let me go back. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be defeated is death, for he has put everything under his feet.
Yeah, that's a good verse, but it doesn't mention the death of Jesus. Not okay, anybody else have another one? Over here. Mrs. Lutz. Okay.
This was Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on the cross. And it was bringing out the fact that one of the curses that we received in Genesis was the thorns. And he wore those thorns, and he experienced the darkness for us.
Amen. Thank you, Jeannie. So you could say the curse of the law removed because of his death. Okay, we'll do two more here. Dad, you got one?
Hebrews 2:14-15.
Okay.
Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives.
So what's the benefit there, Thad? Nice and loud and clear. What's the benefit?
Freed from the devil.
Freedom, right? Okay.
Wouldn't that be free from death?
Freedom from the devil and death, yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Pam?
Hebrews 10:10.
Hebrews 10:10.
And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
So what's that one?
Holy. Been made holy.
Holy, right? You know what's cool about this, Russ? Russ is a retired insurance agent. This is the benefit package for us Christians. I could just preach a sermon on that. See, you know, one thing I appreciate about AG Church, you guys, is you roll with the punches. I change up the sermons quite a bit. Sometimes I preach, and I don't use this. I don't hardly ever do this, but when I do this, I really like doing this. And hearing from you guys, and it brings me life, and it brings me encouragement. And I just appreciate it a lot. You have one? You have your hand up? Romans 5:1. What does it say? Okay. That's a result, but that's good. That's a great verse, but it doesn't mention his death in that verse. Yes. That's good. It is a benefit, yes. Peter, you got one? Okay. Okay. The message of the cross is what? What's the benefit? It's the power of God. Think about that. It's the power of God. I'm out of room here. Power of God. Okay.
Away from him for all who would believe, defeating him and all the powers of darkness in
So his death canceled our death. That's a benefit. One died for all. Yes, very good. Rose, you had one? Okay. Okay. Mm. So, preach, Rose. What's the benefit there? What's the benefit? That's one of the. Keep going. Read 7. Read verse 7. That's what they're telling me. Ooh. Should we close with that verse? That is a good verse. You know, church family, I'm glad that you guys have helped come up with this benefit list here. And we've just kind of opened the lid here in Romans 5. Next week, 2 weeks from now, we're going to continue with Romans 5, and we're going to talk more about the resurrection as well. And so, I hope you come back in 2 weeks and next week as well. But God has displayed his love for us on the cross, and there's so many benefits to knowing Jesus and realizing that, and I might get a little energetic here, that God looks at us, sinful, wicked, enemies, ungodly people, and he says, you know what? Because my son came down there, and he lived a perfect life, I'm taking all your junk, and I'm putting it on Jesus. And I'm looking at you, and I'm declaring you righteous, and I'm giving you the power to live in a way that gives me honor and glory. And that's for each and every one of us here in this room. And I'm so thankful this morning for that. Let's stand, let's pray. Everybody stand up. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Scripture, that we can go to it and read into it and study it, and you reveal things to us. And Father, this morning there's been a lot of revealing done about the benefits of your atoning death and the things that we have access to because of what Jesus did. Father, let us not forget those things, and let us come to the cross in our daily lives, and let us die to self and pick up what Jesus has offered. Father, we thank you so much for victory over sin. We thank you for your atoning death. And we're so thankful that we can study this morning and worship you. Father, as we go to lunch, I pray for a blessing. And Father, we love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Thank you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.